lightning striking me, brother. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, man, I didn't know what that was for a little bit. I think I got electrocuted there for a minute. I'm glad to be here. Amen. I am. I really am. I'm glad to be here in the house of God tonight. I've enjoyed all of it. I've enjoyed all this good singing. I was just sitting there thinking about your choir, man, how they can sing. If you put a pistol in our heads down at Moxville, we could sing like that, Brother Tony. Listen, that's good singing. It really is. I appreciate it. I know a lot of preparation and a lot of prayer has went into all of this. It sure has. And I know it has. Your preacher wants to see it go good and wants you to get help. I know how it is when you're a pastor. You want people to get help. Only a pastor understands that. He wants people to get help. I've got people in our church that when I just see them show up, I get some hope for them. And you know, you being here this week, you're going to hear some good preaching. Now, a little bit, I'm going to get out of the way. You're going to hear a real preacher. Here, Brother Tony, and then this week the others that's coming in, Brother Jenkins, Brother Gray, and others, you'll hear good preaching. I just want to tonight help you a little bit if I can. Want to be a blessing. I'm just glad to be here. I appreciate you, Pastor. 27 years. They ought to give a man a medal. Medal, nothing. They ought to build a statue and put it on the town square. Stay 27 years in a town. Put up with all the difficulties and all the battles and all of that, you know. You really, that's serious. I'm serious about it. You know, about the time you think you've got a victory won and things is going good, boy, you'll get a telephone call and something. It'll knock the props out from under you. That's the truth. Hey, it's almost the truth. I mean, it's every week you deal with some kind of a battle, but I'll tell you something. When I got in this thing, I knowed it was a battle. When I got in, I sort of understood. You know, I didn't understand all that I was going to face, but I knew that it wasn't going to be a Sunday school picnic either. And when you get saved. And you set out to serve God, there's going to be some battles. But you just got to stay with it. Stay with it. Just keep on going and keep on marching and doing what's right. Well, I'm glad to be here. I love you, Pastor, in this church, and I pray for you up here. And you other preachers, good to see you. God bless you. I appreciate you coming. And other churches, and you're visiting tonight, it's good to see each and every one of you. I enjoyed it. I had a good flight. Up here today. I really did. This morning, I got there early. Got there at the airport early and got to sit and read some, make a phone call or two. And when I got on the plane, I had a good seat. What I mean is I had a good seat. It wasn't all crowded. Anytime I can get a seat in the aisle, it's a good seat. You know, and I don't like getting in middle seats. And I got one in the aisle there, had a good seat, good flight, down to, Detroit. And then from Detroit, I had another good one in the aisle again. And it was a middle seat was open. And a fella, I witnessed to it. Man was sitting over here. He was some kind of a consultant for a big corporation. But a very fine man. Talked with him. I passed out some tracts. Got to witness some. But had a good seat. Then on the next one from Detroit, then over here, my seat said 1A. That meant you can't go no further unless you go to the pilot's seat. And I was in 1A. And that girl, I looked, and I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, I've been flying with Delta for years. And maybe it's because I'm not very smart. I said, but I see all these people in front of me when it comes time to board. And I said, man, I'm in the air more than seagull sore feet. I'm in the air, seem like every week. And I can't get that priority boarding and all that stuff. She tried to help me to understand. I got a credit card with through Delta, you know. And I thought, well, that ought to get it. But then they offer a better one. You know what I'm saying? So, and it says priority on it. So I got to get one of them. And I tell you what, I'm going to get it. I'm tired of standing in line. I'm going to get that thing. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you get on there, if the whole plane gets on before you do, then ain't nowhere to put nothing. And then you got them bags up under your legs and all the rest of it. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to get smart. About the time I get too old to do this, I'm going to figure out how it's done. But anyhow, I'm glad to be here. God was so good to me and let me get here today with no problems. And I just see how good God is. Well, let me get to preaching. I want to hear Brother Tony tonight. I want to hear him preach. And I'm just honored to be in this meeting. And I hope this will help you tonight. And this will be a blessing. Look in your Bibles in 1 Chronicles and the 13th chapter. Now, some of these Old Testament names, I'll be honest with you. I know that I mispronounce them. But I really do the best I can. So if you know how they're correctly pronounced, you go ahead. And I'll do the best I can. But some of them, Brother Bell, I'll be honest. I'm not sure anybody can pronounce them just right, except maybe old Alexander Scorby. And maybe he gets them probably right, you know. But I'm not sure that I can. But I make a stab at it, getting these names right. And so if you have your place, yes. Oh, that's all right. This thing got turned off. I'm sorry. I didn't turn it off. All right. Now, it sounded like I went to the electric chair again, didn't it? Is it on now, preacher? Is it on now? All right, good. Okay. In verse number six, and... it ain't on. That's all right. You'll just turn this on and I won't move.
I don't want to use that thing either.
I'll use this. If I get ready to walk off from here, you got this one on because I have to use my hands to preach. Let me lay this one in here. If I walk off, I'll pick this one up. Just let me just stand here. I'll be all right. And but in respect to the Holy Word of God, if you would, if you just stand with me, and I'm going to read a few verses and then we're going to get to preaching. In verse number 6 of 1 Chronicles 13 and verse 6 says, "And David went up, and all Israel to Baalah, which is Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord that dwelleth between the seraphims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab and Uzzah and Ahio, and drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with trembles and with cymbals and with trumpets. And when they had came unto the threshing floor of Sidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had." Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that you'd help me now to preach, Lord, for this next little bit, to try to be a blessing. God, I pray that you, by the Spirit of the living God, would empower me and, Lord, to say tonight what needs to be said. And God, I pray that you would. Thank you for the good music tonight. Thank you for this place and filling it up. And God bless us and use us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, and I'm going to preach to you tonight on this thought, some things to keep your hands off of. You know, David here had become the king of Israel, and he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And I really believe that David, no doubt, he loved God. He really did. And David was trying to do, I think, the right thing. I really believe David, his motive was right. And he was trying to bring back the Ark of God back where it belonged. And but God had a way that Ark was to come back. And what David had done is they built a ox cart. And I think it was probably decorated beautiful, and new paint and new boards and all of it. Everything looked great. But they put that Ark of the Covenant in that ox cart and started back towards Jerusalem with it. And the oxen here, the Bible said, the ox stumbled. And when it did, a man that was with them by the name of Uzzah put his hand out to steady the cart. And when he did, he touched the Ark of the Covenant. He touched it and touched that cart. And God killed killed him there. And the Bible said David was afraid of God. Well, I'll tell you something. That's something, brother, when God did that, that was something to get your attention.
Sure.
And David I don't think really understood. But then when they got to backtracking and found out why this happened, preacher, that God had put on the side of this Ark of the Covenant these ringlets there, and they was these staves or poles that they were to run through those rings on the side of it, and these Levites were to pick that thing up, that Ark of the Covenant, and they were to bear it on their shoulders and carry it the way God told them to carry that thing. See? And David was trying to bring it home in a different cart. And you know, today, there's a lot of people, a lot of churches, a lot of preachers trying to bring God in a different way. And let me tell you, friend, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think about the way we'd like to do things. Brother, let me tell you something. What we better do is we better find out what God said. And do it God's way. Am I telling it right? And David here found that out. You know what they did? He was afraid of God. So what they did, they took the Ark of the Covenant then. They was afraid to move it. And they took it down to a man's house named Obed-Edom. And when they put that in there, Brother Tony, they put that Ark of the Covenant in Obed-Edom's house. The power of God come on his house. And I mean, listen, God knocked a honey bucket over down in his house. And let me tell you, the blessings was coming on Obed-Edom. And it didn't matter to him if they left it there from now on, because God was a blessing for them 3 months. God was in that place, you see, because the Ark of the Covenant represented the power and the presence of God, you see. Now, but when Uzzah put his hand against that Ark of the Covenant and God killed him, the Bible said David was displeased. I really believe he was confused. He didn't understand why God did what he did. And you know, it didn't matter. He just wasn't supposed to put his hands on it. And I thought about, you know, there's some things that God has ordained that you and me ought not put our hands on. You know what would help us, Pastor? He's talking about revival. You know what would help us today is a good old-fashioned dose of the fear of God to get back in our hearts. We need the fear of God. Brother, we need to get back to where there's some things we're afraid to mess with. And I want to give you some of them things tonight, and then I'm going to let Brother Tony come. First of all, let me say, we ought to keep our hands off of God's manual. Now, I'm talking about this old book. I'm talking about keep your hands off of God's manual, the Bible. Keep your hands off of it. Now, what we ought to do with it is we ought to read it, memorize it, preach it, teach it, love it, but not try to mess with it in any other way. Listen to me. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. and it's profitable. Amen. For doctrine. Now let me tell you something. This book right here, and I believe this. I believe that the King James Bible is God's holy, inspired, holy word of God. I believe every word of it. And I'm going to tell you something. Brother, listen, I'd rather do anything than to ever do it, to ever try to make any kind of modification or do anything to the Bible. I'm scared. I'll be honest, I'd be afraid. And you know why? Because, hey, you can't improve on perfection. You know what the Bible is? The Bible is God on paper. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And we beheld His glory. That's what it says. As of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I had a woman down here at the restaurant this evening that was getting a bite to eat, and I handed her a tract. And she looked at it and said, Trinity Baptist, name of church. She said, I don't believe in the Trinity. Well, I know right then, you know, it was one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, and I said, let me tell you something. That Trinity's in the book.
Amen.
It's in the book. See, but you got to have the right book.
Amen.
See, it's in this book right here. And let me tell you something. I'm saying this book, the King James Bible, is God's preserved, holy, inerrant, inspired word. And brother, let me tell you, God gives a warning about in the book of Revelations, Brother Tony, about taking away from it or adding to it. Let me tell you something. I won't even lay my coat on my Bible. I'm funny about that thing. You know, Jack Green, Oliver's brother, used to come hold revivals for me for years. He was I'm talking about a great Bible preacher. He loved the Bible. And when he'd signed your Bible, he'd signed there Psalm 91:1. And I was looking to see if he signed this one here. I don't know if he did or not. But when he did, he always put his name. He'd put Jack Green. And then over top of his name, he'd write his favorite verse, Psalm 91:1. One day, you know, everybody sees sign the Bible, they put their name, and under it, they put their verse. I've done that for years and still do. But Brother Green, I asked him one day, I said, Brother Green, I've always noticed you always put your verse over top of your name. And he looked over his glasses, had that old deep voice, and he said, my friend, that's the way he said, my friend. He said, if God put it above his name, it ought to be above Jack Green. Amen. Yes, sir. He said, if it's above the name of God, it ought to be above my name. Let me tell you something. Hey, brother, let me tell you. This old book right here, and I'd be scared to death. I'd be scared to death, preacher, I wouldn't do it. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't walk in the pulpit with another verse or study out of one or read one or memorize one. And I always, listen, drive it home. I always drive it home. And I hit it pretty regular because I ain't trying to run nobody off. But I don't want a crowd to start gathering in my place that don't believe it. Hey, listen, you let them get a good foothold. Let me tell you what will happen is, first thing you know, they'll take over. What you got to do, brother, you got to let people know where you stand. Hey, don't put your hands on God's manual. You know what the Bible said? Psalm 12 says that it's the pure word of God. Hey, you can't improve on perfection. I believe every word from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 and the last amen, every word of it's the word of God and it's perfect. Hey, I even believe right here where it says genuine cowhide. I even believe that. I believe every bit of it.
Yes, sir.
Don't put your hands on God's man. Too many preachers, because a man went to a university or some college. Now, I ain't against going to college. But let me tell you something. When you get to where you think you done learned enough, you can get a hold of God's word and dissect it like a frog in a biology class and take out what you want and put in what you want and take this out and say that wasn't supposed to be in there. Let me tell you something. It was in there before you come along. I'll tell you that. It's in here before you got here. And some mouse-eyed professor out of some little old Bible college, listen, that never done nothing for God. And let me tell you something. Get up and then try to tell you the Bible's not the inspired word of God. Let me tell you something. You'll get God in a killing mood if you ain't careful.
That's right.
You better not mess with His Word.
Amen.
Don't touch God's manual. Amen. Don't touch God's manual. Preacher, I believe I told you this, but we remodeled our church here a few years ago and put a beautiful wood floor on out like this. We just had carpet, and we took all that up, rearranged things up here, and I put under the wood. They asked me what I wanted to do in there, and I, under the wood, I took a brand new Schofield Bible, Brother Tony, and I put it in a metal box, and I took it out of the cardboard box because I didn't want that leather to rot, and I oiled it up good so it'd last for several years, and I wrote in the front of it, "If you find this Bible under this floor, that this Bible is absolutely God's Word, and this place where you found it was made for the preaching of this book. And if you change it, God might kill you." Then I put my name under that. And you know what I did? We remodeled the old building, and I put one under that. You say, why? Because I want them, when if that bunch ever takes over, and I'm dead and gone, and the liberals move in, and they get ready to throw that turret floor out of there, they're going to find that old book in there. Remember that old boy that said, "I found the book in the house of the Lord"? Remember that? Hey, I know where there's one that's hid in there. It's under the oak floor. And when they find it, brother, let me tell you something. They're going to say he left one behind. I put Bibles all in that place. And I want them to know, listen, don't touch God's manual. Then let me say this right here. Keep your hands off of God's manual. Number two, keep your hands off of God's money. Hey, let me tell you something. That in the Bible, you know, in the book of Acts, in that fifth chapter, there was a man, and I really believe, Brother Bill, this man and woman may have been saved people there that was just stingy and wasn't right with God, and they sold some land. I'm not going to take time to turn over and read it all. Well, just turn over real quick. I'm going to get out of here. I want you to see it so you'll think I ain't making this up. But look over here in the book of Acts, in this fifth chapter, and in the fifth chapter it says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession." That means they sold some land. "And kept back part of the price, his wife also being private to it." In other words, they made it up among themselves. "And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now, look, let me tell you what I think all they really should had to do was come down there and would have said, "Preacher, let me tell you, I know I probably ain't totally right, but this is what we're going to give." Yeah. And they held back maybe what God wanted to give them, sure of that, but they lied about it. See, and let me tell you something else. That lying will get you in trouble too. Look right here. "And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, to keep back part of the price of the land while it remained? Was it not in thine own?" And he said, you could have done it. You lied about it, see? "And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him." Brother, they took care of business, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know, he lied about what he gave. You know what he done? God would have blessed him if he would have give like he is supposed to and not lied about it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I just want to say this. Now, I believe in the local church. And I believe if you're sitting here tonight and you're a member of the Anchor Baptist Church here in Columbus, Ohio, let me tell you something tonight. Your tithe and your offerings goes in your church. Supports your debt. Now, by the way, I'm for missionaries, but I believe missionaries ought to be supported through by the local church. And by the way, we ought not dodge them and try to get around supporting them. If you want to get God to not bless you, you don't do anything for missions, God ain't going to bless you either. But I'm saying, but my job, every dollar I get that comes my way, I ought to be a tither. And I ought to give. I ought to be a tither and a giver. And by the way, I want to do it because I've found out. When I got married, Brother Bell, I made $2.10 an hour. In 1973, I was making $2.10 an hour. $1.95. And I told the boss I was getting married, and he gave me a raise to $2.10. Hey, listen. listen, that ain't much money. And we drove an old $600 car and lived in a little old house trailer about as long as this platform. And but we made it five. But I told my little wife, when we got married, I said, the one thing we're going to do, we're going to give God what belongs to God.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, when you bring home a paycheck every 2 weeks on $2.10 an hour, brother, let me tell you something. I'll tell you what, brother. That took some faith. Amen. But you know what we did? I never missed a meal.
Amen. Never missed anything.
God took care of
it.
And I'm saying, hey, you give God what belongs to God.
Yes,
you keep your hand off God's money.
Yes,
I'm going to tell you right now, if you think, well, I work to earn it, and I can do what I want to with it. It's my money and all of that. Let me tell you something. You listen to me tonight. You couldn't put your foot on the floor in the morning if God wasn't for you. You can't do nothing. He said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. And let me tell you, you tithe, and I guarantee you, I could have dozens of people in this room stand up to give their tithe and their offering to their local church on a regular basis. They'll stand up and say, he's telling you right. You keep your hands off of God's money. Hey, I was preaching in a little old church a while back, and I rolled in there, preacher, and got my got my Bible out of it, and I started locking my doors, and the preacher was out there in the parking lot, and he said, brother, you don't have to lock it. He said, you don't have to lock this thing. He said, ain't nobody going to steal nothing out here. I said, all your church tithe? He said, no. I said, well, if they'll steal from God, they'll steal from me. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. That's right.
Amen.
That's absolutely right. They'll steal out the offering plate. And I want to tell you something. Brother, there's a bunch of people driving stolen cars because they bought with God's money.
Right.
Wearing stolen shoes and stolen suits and all the rest of it.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I still believe that. You swear that on Malachi. You going over there, will a man rob God? Yeah, he will. And let me tell you, and you read it, and there's a curse on people that does it. If you don't believe it, you ask Mr. Ananias and Sapphira. You ask him and his wife. They'll tell you, brother, the one thing you don't do, you don't keep your hands off of God's money and don't lie about it. Hey, and you know what? She come in the church a little bit later. She come walking in. Hey, you talking about taking care of business. Brother Richardson, they didn't even tell her that he's been buried. They said, it ain't going to matter. She's going to lie, too. Just have a hole dug for her. She come trotting in there, and Peter asked her, listen, is this what you got out of that land? And she said, yes. He said, the same men that was carried your husband out here, and they're waiting on you.
Yes,
and, brother, she hit the floor, and they carried her out and buried her, too. And the Bible said, great fear came upon the church. It's in the book. Hey, you know what? You know what that means? The next week, the offerings was up.
Amen.
I guarantee you one thing. Brother, when the treasurer had to stay late Sunday night to count it,
Amen.
I bet he said, praise God. Let me tell you something. Keep your hands off of God's money.
Amen.
You keep your hands off God's money, you do what's right by it, and he'll bless you.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me give you something else. I got to hurry here. Listen here. Keep your hands off of, and I'm just going to give you the outline. I'm going to let Brother Tony preach.
You're doing good.
Keep your hands off of God's meeting place.
Yeah.
What you talking about? I'm talking about the church.
Amen.
You don't run down your church.
Amen.
You don't ever go out here and talk bad about this church.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Hey, when I was a boy, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My dad wasn't saved, but I was already pastoring. But you know something my daddy said to me and my brother and his kids? He said, the boys, let me tell you something. I don't want you to ever go down to school and say nothing. And we wasn't hiding anything. He said, but you don't go down and tell them our business here.
Right.
Now, let me just tell you something. You don't go down here to barbershops and hair salons and all that and tell everything's going on in this church.
Right.
Hey, I'll tell you you said, well, what do I talk about? Get you some tracts. And tell them about the cross of Jesus Christ. You don't tell them, hey, if you had trouble down here and families is left and all that, you don't go down and sit there when they're fixing your hair and talk about all that kind of stuff. You don't need to do that. Hey, listen, this is God's meeting place. Now, here's what I'm going to say. You say, well, what verse you got for keeping your hands off that? I'm getting ready to give it to you. Hey, in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now listen to this. You know how much you love your wife? You men here know how much you love your wife?
Yes, sir.
If some man out here somewhere insulted your wife, said something out of the way to your wife, and or tried to abuse her, listen, you'd give your life. You'd fight. You'd jump in front of a man with a gun or anything to protect her.
Yes,
now, let me tell you something. The Bible said that's how much Jesus Christ loved the church. You think, hey, the meeting place don't mean something to him? Hey, let me tell you something, buddy. I believe in the church.
Yes,
I believe in the local church. And I'm going to tell you something. I love the church. I love my church. I love Trinity Baptist Church. And you ought to love this church. And let me tell you, if you love it, let me tell you something you'll do. Now, you ought to be here because you love Jesus. But let me tell you something. Wednesday night, prayer meeting, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday school, revival meetings, Faith Arbor Week, Bible conferences, vacation Bible school. I don't care, bless God, what it is. You ought to be here. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. There ought not be nobody have to come hunt you. Hey, I've been saved, Brother Smith, 46 years, and I ain't never had to have a pastoral visit. See why I didn't come to church. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm confessing something. I got so discouraged one time. I got so discouraged back yonder before I was ever called to preach. My pastor resigned, and I loved that man. And he resigned, and I didn't understand it. I wasn't but about 18 years old. Just had got married. Boy, the preacher resigned. I'm going to tell you something. It like to kill me. Man, I love my preacher. That's something else I ain't going to face God for, fighting my preacher. And I'm going to get on that in a minute. I'm getting ready to get done so he can. But listen to me. That Sunday morning, 46 years is the only time I can remember ever missing church. And I got ready for church, went to church, and I got saved in American Baptist Church there in the mountains. And when the pastor resigned, we had a good man of God, but the convention started sending in some of these people nobody didn't want to hear. You know what I mean? Convention had a bunch of old dead preachers that when somebody needed somebody to fill in, they'd call one of them. Couldn't preach a lick. And they'd send them down there. Well, we had about two or three Sundays of that. Brother Smith, I'd about two Sundays of it. And I rolled up there, and my man of God had left. And I was so discouraged that I pulled up in front of the church and let my mother and my wife out. And I just went over and sat in my car. Didn't come in. I'm ashamed to admit that. But you know what happened that Sunday? The same thing happened to you if you left. That Sunday, old Frank Pittman, a man that was going to be my pastor for several years, that Sunday, I didn't know it, but they got a hold of him and got Frank to come there. Frank could preach paint off of the wall. I mean, listen, he was a preaching machine. And they got him that morning to come. And my wife and my mother, when I come to pick them up, they said, oh, listen, you missed it. And then you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. They said, man, that man said that God was all over him and the power of God. Brother Tony, I didn't even want to hear it. I was so backslid and discouraged. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm saying keep your hands off of the meeting place. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, get to church. And brother, if you're discouraged, you get in here, there'll be something to encourage you. There'll be a Sunday school lesson, a sermon, a song. Somebody will encourage you some way. If you'll just get here, God will use something to help you. But keep your hands off it. Don't go out and run down. And I want to say something else while I'm at it. Listen to this. That I believe this, preacher. I believe that Facebook has done more to destroy churches than liquor stores. People get mad and leave a church, and then they get on there, and they put everything about the church and against the preacher, and then they punch a button and let every devil that's ever left a church in six counties know about all this. Hey, the Bible says, tell it not in Gath. Tell it not, David said when Saul got killed, tell it not in Gath. Don't you tell that.
Yeah,
don't tell that.
Right.
I might preach that too. Yeah, I might preach that.
Help.
But listen, keep your hands off God's meeting place. Let me hurry real quick. Keep your hands off of God's man. Listen to me. I'm going to finish. Keep your hands off God's man. Listen to me. Listen to the preacher. I'm trying to help you. This man behind me for 27 years. Now you listen to what I'm telling you. 27 years come here and there wasn't nothing. And was led of God and prayed. Started out with nothing. I guess, preachers, anybody here besides your wife left the wicked started? Carl. And Mrs. Anderson back here. Four people that's here still left us here when he started. But he stayed, and I wanted to say, hey, I ain't trying to make you feel sorry for the preacher. I'm trying to get you to see how it is. Yeah. Let me tell you something. That man's prayed and sweated and toiled and worried and preached and done everything he can to keep this thing going. Let me tell you something. Folks, I'll be honest. I really don't see how nobody, I'll be honest with you. I don't see how anybody could go against the preacher.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. You say, well, what if a man's a liberal? Well, let me tell you something. If he is, you know what I'd do? I'd leave. I'd just leave and go get in a good old Bible-believing church. So I was a liberal, I'd leave. Listen to what I'm telling you. Yours ain't.
Hey,
he's straight as an arrow.
Right.
And let me tell you something. And you say, well, that ain't going to get God killed. I know people. Let me tell you something. You better go back. And I ain't going to read all these verses because Brother Tony needs to preach. Listen to this. Over in Numbers, when that bunch one day said, Brother Tony, Byram,
right,
and Korah, and Dathan, and all that bunch,
right,
you know what they said? Moses, you take too much on you. God don't speak by you only. You know what Moses was so right? He was so meek and everything. You know, he fell down and began to cry and over it because they did that. And they just kept it up. And Moses said, well, I'll tell you what, boys. Now, that boys ain't in there. But he said, hey. Hey, he told
him.
He said, he said, y'all come out here tomorrow and we'll find out who God's talking through.
Yeah.
I believe it's number 16. And when they came out there, listen to me. The next day, old Moses, listen, he lifted his hands up there and called on God. Let me tell you what happened. The ground opened up. The ground opened up, and brother, listen, that's the first mention I really see of hell and fire coming out of the earth. And brother, let me tell you, it swallowed up camels, tents, children, people. Let me tell you something. You think I wouldn't have been looking for his sandals to shine them up for him? Hey, I'd have went over and said, Moses, if you'll pull them shoes off, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll shine them up right, buddy. And I'd tell my youngins, I'd say, hey, you see that man right there? Listen, you seen what happened right there? You seen what God did right there? You don't ever put your hand against the man of God. You don't do that. You don't do that. Hey, remember when old Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 2? You know what? And it says little children. Hey, I don't mean teenagers. I'm talking about kids this size right here. Little kids out there playing, and they seen old Elisha coming through there, and they was making fun of Elijah being raptured. They said, hey, Baldy, go up. Amen. Go up like your predecessor did there. Go up. Hey, Baldy. They're not calling nobody Baldhead. You know what happened? Two she bears tore 40 of them up. It killed 40 kids. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, you better not tell God you don't agree with that. Because God's the one got them bears after them
kids.
That's
exactly right.
You say, why? Hey, you know why? Because their mother and daddy's the one been cutting the preacher down.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something. You don't have to take a gun and shoot George Bell. You don't have to take a gun to kill him. All you got to do is be going home tonight from church in the car and say, well, I didn't agree. I don't know why he's got to have old Darrell Cox, Tony Hudson at Faith Harbor week every year. I don't see why he's got to do it. And you just kill him in the eyes of your children.
Yes.
Keep your hands off. off of God's man. Hey, listen to me. I'm through. I'm done. Keep your hands off of another man's wife. Keep your hands off of a man's wife. Let me tell you something. Old David was a man after God's own heart. And there was a time when the kings were to go to battle. And David, it said, tarried still at Jerusalem. And David sent Joab. You can't send somebody to do what you're supposed to do. He ought to have been out there that morning when that big old white stud horse was out there early in the morning, and the steam coming out of his nostrils, and that old boy at work at barn putting a saddle on it, time for the king to leave. And Joab come in and said, "You can take that saddle off. He ain't going this morning." "You mean the king ain't going to battle?" "No, he's still in the bed." And at evening time, he got out of bed, walked out on the roof, and saw a beautiful woman taking a bath, sent for that woman. And he put his hands on another man's wife, one of his mighty men that was out there in the battle. Preacher, let me tell you something. You say, "What did it cost him?" The sword never left his house. Never did. Hey, some things, friend, that when you get a scar from it, it'll be on there from now on.
God help.
Some things to keep your hands off of. Keep your hands off of God's mandate. Don't you try to build a church, try and do something else. You get out there and win souls. I'm through. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, I pray as your man comes to preach here, Lord, you'd anoint him. Lord, bless him, use him. God, tonight, I pray that you would. And I pray you'd bless the remainder of the music, the choir, and the fellowship, and the singing, and all.